Now, recent research published in the Medical Journal of Australia has suggested that some donated organs deemed too unsafe to transplant may not actually be as risky as previously thought. This morning, we're joined by Dr. Karen Waller, a PhD candidate at the University of Sydney, to discuss these groups considered to be high risk when it comes to organ donation, the reasons for that, and how we can potentially increase organ donation here in Australia. Karen, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks very much, Jess. Happy to have a chat.
Now, how many Australians are currently on a wait list for transplant?
So there's around 1,400 Australians waiting for a transplant at any time, which is quite a lot. Most of those people would be waiting for kidneys, for which we do have dialysis to keep people alive whilst they're waiting. The other organs that are important on the waiting list are hearts, livers, lungs, as well as pancreas. And for hearts and livers and lungs, we don't really have any good long-term ways to keep people alive off dialysis. There's some things we can do in the short term, keep them alive. There's no dialysis for those organs.
Mm.
So having a transplant is really the best way that we can get people through it and give them a massive increase in their quality of life as well as keeping them alive.
Now, which groups are considered to be high-risk organ donors, and are they usually rejected as donors when they do come to that time?
So I guess first it's important to say there's a lot of reasons why some people wouldn't be able to donate their organs. So the things that we worry about might be transmitting an infection or a cancer to recipient. My research looks at bloodborne viruses specifically. So that's things like hepatitis B and C or HIV. And there's specific groups that have been identified in national and international guidelines, basically groups who are more likely to pick up those viruses. And those kind of groups are, say, people who inject drugs, sex workers, people who've been in jail, men who have sex with men, and people who have a sexual partner that either belongs to one of those groups or who has a bloodborne virus themselves. We know those groups of people are more likely to acquire an infection than your general population who doesn't have those risk factors. And the reason we worry about these groups is that for those bloodborne viruses, our tests can't pick up the infection right from the moment you acquire it. So there's a delay that's around a few days to a few weeks where there's this undetectable window period infection. So we know that's there for potentially any donor, but the risk of that infection is higher if you belong to one of those increased risk groups.
Mm. Are there ever any exceptions for people in those high-risk groups, or is this a general blanket rule? Is no organ donation accepted from any of these people?
Basically, people are considered on a case-by-case basis. And that might mean that the risk of a donor might be too high for someone who's doing pretty well, but for someone who's quite unwell and in intensive care unit, taking someone who's got a bit of an increased risk might be worthwhile. And that's current practice at the moment, to just consider depending on a balance of sort of risk and benefit.
Is there a way that we could be doing this better? Are we unfairly judging some groups of people, or maybe not approaching situations in the best way that we could be?
Well, we wondered whether we were being too risk averse. So for everyone who's waiting on the waiting list, there is a risk of death and terrible quality of life. And the other thing that's changed recently is that we've got new treatments for hepatitis C, which are really groundbreaking. We can completely cure hepatitis C now. So we wanted to know sort of how risky these donors actually were when they test negative for the bloodborne viruses. So what's the actual chance of a window period infection? And the research that I've done shows that the risk of these window period infections is actually pretty low, even if you're from an increased risk group.
Wow.
The risk of HIV, if you're a man who has sex with men who test negative for HIV, is about 1 to 2 people per 10,000, which is very small.
Mm.
For hepatitis C or hepatitis B, the risks were still under 1%. And when we've got these other strategies that we can use to minimise transmission, that is, we can cure people who get hepatitis C, or for hepatitis B, you can be vaccinated, which means you can't have the infection transmitted. We thought these risks are actually not that high for someone who's waiting on a waiting list, and could be a way that we can increase the donor pool and get a lot more people transplanted.
Mm. What would be the next step then if this were to become a reality in Australia and in Australian medicine?
So I think the first thing is to get people aware of what their actual risks are, and that's both, you know, the doctors making suitability decisions and also the patients who are on the waiting list, so they can sort of understand how the risk applies to them. I think everyone will probably have a different threshold of what degree of risk they're happy to have, and for a lot of people it might be that they're happy for a small amount of risk for an extra chance to get an organ a bit sooner. So the work I've done has been incorporated into the national guidelines now, And there's sort of been steps in different states as to how we're going to move forward with this. So I know in Victoria they've started up a separate consent process. So when people go on the waiting list for a kidney, for instance, you can say if you're happy to accept an organ from one of these people who have increased risk. I believe that in their early work with this program, they've already managed to reduce the waiting list in some of the blood groups down there. So that's quite interesting.
That's promising.
Yeah.
Well, Karen, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you very much for joining us this morning and for explaining a little bit more.
Thanks very much. Have a good morning.
You too. That was Karen Waller, PhD candidate at the University of Sydney, talking to us about safe organ donation here in Australia and some ways that we might consider approaching it.